Good morning, church. I don't know, but it seems as though my opinion. Seems like we've all gained 3 pounds since last week. Is that accurate? Pretty close. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Excellent, excellent. So we are, next week is the first Sunday of Advent. We'll start the Advent season, but we're kind of getting a jump start on it this morning. We're going to sing some Christmas carols, and I ran across this. We know this passage well. Some 700 plus years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah heard this from the Lord and wrote this down. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who we come to worship this morning, church. He is worthy of our worship. Are you out there? Are you ready to worship him? Let's pray. Father, we welcome you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you are indeed a Wonderful Counselor. You're the Prince of Peace. And we thank you for coming because you love us, to save us. Father, those of us in this room today, we welcome you. Those of us live stream, we welcome you into our homes, into this place. Would you be glorified in our midst? Set our hearts right before you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able as we worship.
Christmas music, church. I love it. Some of you Grinches out there, you know, I don't like Christmas music. I'm sorry, you got me. We're going to sing as much Christmas music as I can this year. All right. But that's what we're here to do this morning, is we are here to adore the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has come to seek and save each and every one of us. And our God is so good that he came from heaven and came as a child, born in a manger. And instead of coming in and making us give him our worship, and instead of that, he came and he humbled himself. And he loved us and he died on a cross while we were sinners. And so the King of Kings came to serve. And so because of that, church, we owe him everything. He's so good. We are here to adore him, to lift him on high this morning. And so it's nothing that we do. We don't earn it. We don't earn our salvation. But it is the gift of God, by the grace of God. So this morning, we praise God for what he has done through Jesus Christ. And we give him all the glory for what he has done for us. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. Children, I want y'all to go ahead and come forward for your children. No, sorry. Everybody hold your place real quick. Everybody stay seated for 1 second.
So, Calhoun's, Rexy, and Harrington, and I'm looking. There they are. Come on up. Hey, Harrington, anything going on today? What's happening today? Y'all just come right here. You're getting baptized. Are you kidding me? Awesome. Yes. And y'all are also joining the church. We will baptize you at the end of the service, okay? I'm going to, so everybody can see you guys. So, you guys have been coming. So, what drew them to the church was Joel. Did you hear Joel? When Joel preached, so I can't take credit for wrong. But you came back, even the second week. Rexy and Harrington, we welcome you into our church. You have accepted Christ, and Harrington's going to take care of that at the end of the service. And so I just ask you, is Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior? Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. We welcome you. Okay, you guys grab a seat. I'll see you at the end of the service, Harrington. All right, children, now you can come forward.
Morning. Good. Everybody had a good week? Did everybody have a good week? Yes. What did y'all do? What was this week?
Thanksgiving.
That's right. Did everybody have fun at eating turkey? Who ate turkey at your house? Who ate sandwiches? You ate peanut butter and jelly? There you go. All right. So you had turkey and dressing and maybe some pies and other good stuff, right? Huh? Pumpkin pie? Did y'all spend some time with family and friends and just had a really good day of just being thankful and just being thankful for all that God has done for us, right? So, yeah. So Thanksgiving has come and we've celebrated and now we're getting ready for what? What? Christmas, that's right. We're getting ready for Christmas. Who's got a tree up at your house? Who's got lights on your house? All right. Are y'all excited about Christmas?
I've had a tree in my house since
the end of October. There you go. So I think Harper has too. Oh, the trees, the lights, the gifts, the parties, the cookies. All of that is so much fun, right? And celebrating Christmas. But why do we celebrate Christmas? What's the reason? Yes? It's Jesus' birthday. It is a day that we set aside, and we celebrate that God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus for us, right? Yes. So it's a busy season, right? And sometimes we just kind of get busy, but it's a great, fun season. So this morning, I have brought along, what's this? That's not going to ring. What is this?
A bell.
So Miss Michaela and Miss Linda's going to pass everybody a bell today. you get a bell? Okay, you got a bell? All right. There you go. Okay. Who needs a bell? Raise your hand if you need a bell. Okay, there you go. Okay. I know, we're going to get you one. Okay, give one to Harrington. There you go. There you go. Lantas. Who else? Okay. Everybody's got a bell? Okay. All right. Everybody's got a bell? Okay. Everybody ring your bell. All right. All right. That's a great sound, isn't it? Do y'all like the way a bell sounds? Yes, that's right. So I want you, do you know how a bell sounds that way? You know what? Can you look inside and tell me what do you see inside the bell? A ball. So every time you shake it, it hits the side of the outside and it makes that ringing sound, right? So the sound comes from the inside of this little bell. Did you know that? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. So everybody ring it one more time so we can make a really joyful noise, okay? Okay, very good. Okay, now, take your bell, hold it in your hand very quietly, okay? So, did you know this bell makes the noise when you ring it, right? But inside of us, we make a joyful sound too. Have you ever thought about us making a joyful sound? You jump? Yeah. So we make a joyful sound. And you know what that joyful sound is?
What?
It's the joyful sound that comes when we have Jesus in our heart and we tell others about Jesus. Does that make you joyful when you do that? Does Jesus make you excited?
Yeah.
Does Jesus make you excited?
Yeah.
All right. So we have Jesus and we need to make a joyful noise for Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, it says in 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. Did you know that he fills us with this wonderful, glorious joy inside of us? Do we want to keep that joy to ourselves? No, we want to be like this bell and make lots of noise. So you'll make lots of noise for Jesus, okay? All right. Now, hold your bell really still, okay? And I want you to hold it really tightly in your hand like this. Hold it really tightly in your hand. Everybody's got it really tightly in your hand. Now try to ring the bell. Does it make a sound? Not a good sound, is it? Right? Yeah. So that... Do you know that sometimes we don't make a joyful sound for Jesus? Do you know why? We get busy and we forget to be joyful because of what all that Jesus has done for us. So that joy doesn't come out. So what sound do you want to make? Do you want to make the good, joyful sound, or do you want to make the very not so good sound? What sound do you want to make? The good sound. That's right. So we want to be joyful for Jesus. So as you're getting ready for Christmas, take this bell home with you and hang it on your tree, okay? And when you go by, ring that bell and just say, Jesus, okay? Can you do that? And maybe just say that around the house, okay? If you hear another bell somewhere, say, Jesus, and be excited because joy, Jesus fills us with a glorious joy, okay? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Just bless us as we move, as we learn and grow in you, Lord Jesus. Just watch over us. And thank you for these boys and girls that are here with us and for all their families, Lord. And we thank you for the season of Thanksgiving. And I thank you as we look forward to the season of Christmas as we celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to have you again worshiping with us online. I'm going to encourage you to register your attendance through the app. A lot of stuff going on over the next 2 weeks. I'm going to hit them real briefly. We have a men's ministry meeting this Wednesday night at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. We'll be discussing the upcoming men's summit, which will take place in March. Also, future opportunities for men's ministry. The trip to the OCC Processing Center is next Saturday, so there's still opportunities to sign up for that. You can do that through the app, or you can contact Naomi Wood. Naomi, wave at us over there. Okay. It's always a great opportunity to serve and great time of fellowship. Also, our all-church Christmas party is next Sunday night at 5:30. We'll start with a program that the kids will present at that time, then we'll transition to the Fellowship Hall for a meal. Men's breakfast is the 9th, and it's back at Wiley Baptist next month. And then Christmas workshop on the 10th of December. If you're not familiar with that, children will come and they'll pay $15 to make 10 or so gifts for friends and family. So that's always a great time to watch them work and also a good time to be able to serve the Lord. So you can sign your children up or sign up to serve for that. Let's stand as we affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this week we received an annual report from Pregnancy Resources. It's a ministry that we love. It's a ministry that we support. And they do incredible work for expectant mothers and then mothers who are new to motherhood. And so I just want to read a little bit of the year-end letter from Holly Joyner. She says, thank you for a fantastic year. 2023 has been a year of advancing our mission to inspire hope and empower lives like never before. We are grateful for your support and all we have accomplished together. At the end of 2022, they expanded their community awareness outreach. They added a couple more people to their staff. Says, we're reaping a harvest, restructuring and adding those two positions has helped us in reaching 17% more clients. And these are mainly women considering abortion. With the influx of new clients, we also saw a 14% increase in services overall. Through the diligent work of our medical team, a year of grinding through applications and preparations, we're ready to officially begin our abortion pill rescue program in December. We continue to see an increase of women receiving abortion pills in the mail, and there was a 21% increase of women we see wanting an abortion. She says, so much has been achieved so far this year. 65 moms have changed their minds about abortion and chose life for their babies. Amen. Amen. And 1,650 of our neighbors have experienced the compassion and love of Christ through our medical support and our ministries. We will continue to do what we do and ask the Lord for more in 2024, more lives saved and transformed, more impact through our growing programs, and more space to give more men, women, and families empowered to thrive. Incredible ministry. They do really good work in Abilene, Texas. So this morning, I want to pray for Pregnancy Resources. There's some other nonprofits in Abilene, Texas that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the focus. They minister and with a desire to honor him. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. I encourage you to pray with me. Father, I thank you for Pregnancy Resources. Lord, I just thank you for the work that they do. And Lord, I just thank you for, God, the moms who have chosen life for their children. But at the same time, there's been those who have not made that choice. God, I pray that you bless those ladies this day. I pray that they know without a doubt that they're loved by you. Father, would you just kind of break through maybe the guilt, break through maybe the discouragement, break through maybe the shame, and just shine a light on their need for Christ in their life. Father, I pray for 2024 to be a banner year for this ministry. And there's others in Abilene, Texas, too, that they depend on you for their resources. And so, Father, I just pray that you continue to make provision for Pregnancy Resources and the others. Father, you own it all. And God, all you have to do is shift something in their direction. So, Lord, would you do that for your glory so they can expand their reach in our community, that more lives can be touched, more lives can be impacted by the love of Christ. Just bless them in Jesus' name. Father, this morning I pray for those who are in our building, those that are home worshiping with us. God, I pray for those who are struggling with discouragement maybe. depression, maybe. This is just a hard time of year for some people. And Lord, I went through that for a number of years. It's just a real down time for me. And so, Father, I just pray for those people who may be struggling. God, I just pray that joy break out in their hearts. Lord, let them know that there's hope. Let them know that they have a purpose in life. God, you created them for a reason. You have a destiny for them to live out. Father, I pray that they and the rest of us discover what you have called us to do. Thank you for your Son as we move out of the Thanksgiving season into the Christmas season. Father, help us not to lose focus on the purpose, the reason why Jesus came to set us free. We're grateful for that. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity to pray, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you of our giving options. You can give electronically. Instructions are on the screen. Also, our offering boxes are located by each door. If you need prayer for anything after the service, we'll have several people available for that. Please take advantage of that.
My prayer every week for us is that we experience the love and the goodness of God here together in this place. God loves you. And this week we have a couple new songs, a new Christmas song called Noel. Some of you may not be familiar with it, but it's a very powerful song that invites us to see just what Christ has done for every one of us. And the next song, King of Kings, talks about how the King of Kings came to a cradle. And then it talks about how he went to a cross. And then it talks about Jesus, the victorious one that rose from the grave. And that the Holy Spirit is then given to the church. And he lives in and through us, church, today. So catch on to these songs. But I just pray that during this time, if these songs are new to you, that you allow the words to wash over you. And that you allow the goodness and the love of God to make you more like Jesus this morning as we sing and as we worship.
Good morning again, church. Welcome. Welcome again to the folks who are worshiping at home. If you are our guest this morning, we hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. And there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration with a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you after the service. Be down at this end of the foyer. Have a free gift for our guests. And hope that you will come and meet me. You certainly don't have to do any of that, but would love to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We know through your promise and through this invitation that you are here, Holy Spirit. So would you speak? Would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So, on your bulletin and in my email this week, the stated sermon, we're concluding the Dear God sermon, is, did Adam have a belly button? And why, God, did you create mosquitoes? So, I'm not going to spend much time. That was actually what you would call a teaser. But I do want to answer those questions. Then we're going to get into the real sermon. The first question is, did Adam have a belly button? No. Okay, next question. In regards to mosquitoes, I told the early service, I am going to start a new program, and I'm going to be the founder of this new program, and it's going to be called Mosquitoes Anonymous. And I'm going to start the first meeting, and I'm going to say, hi, I'm Jeff. And I am a mosquito bite survivor. So, mosquitoes. You know, my wife and I like to sit out on the back porch from time to time. And I'll be over there fighting for my life. And she's over there just enjoying the evening. I don't know. Mosquitoes like me. I don't really know why. I think my theory is because I'm so sweet. That's my theory. Anyway, we're not going to spend. I'm just messing around with them. But I will answer the question. God is the creator, right? If it's been created, God created it. And so mosquitoes, ultimately, were created by God. They do have some good purposes. They do provide food for some fish and some birds. I can't believe I read on mosquitoes this week, but they pollinate I think that the fact that mosquitoes are a pest is a result of the fall. Do you think Adam and Eve were in the garden going, I can't believe these mosquitoes? You think they were? I don't think they were. Now, here, my last word on mosquitoes, and then we're going to get into the real message. I read this. Only female mosquitoes bite. It's in there. Read it. It's there. Cody, it's there. So y'all can take that and do with it as you whatever you want to. Okay, on to the real sermon. I'm going to wade into some weeds here. The real sermon is, Dear God, can a Christian lose their salvation? Now, I told the early service, and I'll say this, I understand that theologians have been debating this for centuries. I realize that as I preach this message, there may be varying opinions and thoughts in the church. But we're gonna unpack scripture a little bit. From my understanding, so just know that I'm well aware that some of you may see this a little differently, but from my reading of Scripture, no. We cannot lose our salvation. Now, that again, I know some of you may see that some different ways. And so as I unpack that answer of no, I think there's some things we need to talk about. First of all, we need to discuss, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is a Christian? Now, this is not me assigning heaven or hell to people. I want that to be very clear. That's God's business. But what Scripture tells us about what is a true Christian, what a true Christian is not necessarily is just someone who goes to church and who has recited what we know as the sinner's prayer, and then that's it. That is not, I don't believe, what God is talking about when he defines what it means to be a Christian. That's part of it, but that's not the essence of it. Again, not my job to assign heaven or hell, but I don't believe that that's all it is. It's like, oh, if you just say this prayer, am I, Billy? Are you going to watch TV while I'm preaching or what? I love embarrassing him. That's my favorite thing in life. All right, so just reciting, reading this prayer and going to church is not the essence of being a Christian. We're going to talk about what is the essence of being a Christian? And let's just jump right in. A Christian has been saved by grace through faith. It's the passage we read today. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is this is a very important word. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So if we could be saved through our good works, what Scripture is telling us, we would get the glory. We would be able to boast about that. Look at me. Look how great I am. I've earned my salvation. That is not biblical. It's not the essence of being a Christian. No, we are saved by grace through faith, and it is a gift. It's something God gives to us. So as we talk about that word grace, it's God's unearned, this is important, it's God's unearned, undeserved favor. Now this is this sentence right here, everybody. Billy, weren't you, what was that, your twin? Wasn't you just right over here? No, that wasn't you? Okay. That dude is stealthy, man, I'm telling you. Here's an important sentence. If God's grace could be lost, then it's not grace. I mean, and that's not just my opinion. Romans 11:6, let me read it to you. If by grace, if we're saved by grace, then it is no longer works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. That's Scripture. If grace could be lost, then it isn't grace. Grace is unearned. It's undeserved. All right. Next point. A Christian is a new creation. Something happens to us when Christ comes into our heart, when we repent of our sins and we ask Christ into our heart. Something should change. Now, that doesn't mean automatically we never struggle again, we never sin, but there's a difference between struggling with sin and a perpetual life of sin where we don't see any problem with it. If anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Something happens to us in the spiritual realm that is transformative. We are a new creation. If you can't think back and see that you're on this journey where God is at work in you and some good things have happened and are happening, then think about that. Think about that. Because to be a Christian is to be a new creation. Next point, a Christian has been redeemed. 1 Peter 1:19, you are redeemed not by good works. You are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So to be redeemed is to be, a way to think of that is to be purchased at a price. And what was the price? The price was God's Son dying for our sins on a cross. By his blood, we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. A Christian, next point, a Christian has been justified. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. It's not something that will happen. It's not something that someday we hope will happen. It's already happened. We stand in grace through faith. We are standing. We are in the presence of grace. And we have been justified through faith. Justified means to be declared righteous, just as if we've never sinned. To be declared as righteous, not by our works, but by grace through faith. I mean, again, grace, undeserved, unmerited favor of God. Is nobody's left yet, so that's really good. I got a little nervous with Billy, but everybody else is still here. Hang with me. I'm gonna use one of your lines, Billy. Repeat after me. I love Jeff Hatcher. You heard, that's Billy. I stole that from Billy when you're preaching difficult things. All right, the next point. A Christian has been promised eternal life. I love this. John 3:16, probably the most well-known, most quoted scripture. The two verses preceding John 3:16 is, listen to this. I love this. Jesus saying, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. When Christ, they laid the cross on the ground, they nailed him to the cross. What did they have to do? They lifted him up. When the Son of Man must be lifted up. Why? So that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. It's a promise that we have, that the Christian has. So we are new creations. We are redeemed. We are justified. We are promised eternal life. And something in us, it doesn't mean that we no longer struggle with sin. It means that just that word, struggle with sin. If we don't struggle with sin, then there's something going on. Okay. Now, so with that definition of what it means to be a follower of Christ, let's talk about what do we do with that, answering this question of can a Christian lose their salvation. First point, your salvation, my salvation, is a gift of God. It's a gift. It's not only a gift, it's God's gift. For the wages of sin is death. That's the punishment that our sin deserves. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it is a gift. It is not earned. Secondly, so not only is our salvation a gift of God, but the Holy Spirit is a gift of God. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and he said, look, the Holy Spirit's not going to just be with you. He's going to be in you. And he fulfilled that promise when he sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Read about it. And Peter preached the gospel for the very first time, filled with the Holy Spirit. He preached the gospel, and 3,000 people came to Christ. And I'm waiting for that Sunday. And we'll go right out here, and we'll go out there and just start doing some baptizing. So Peter preaches the gospel filled with the Holy Spirit, this gift of the Holy Spirit, and the people are convicted. Something's wrong here. They're convicted. It's like their eyes were opened, and they said, what should we do? What should we do? And we know that Jesus is the Savior, and you've shared the gospel with us. What should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And here it is. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, he says, and your children, and for all who are far off. And he's speaking of the Gentiles. And for all whom the Lord our God will call. I think that somewhere in that list, we're in there. We're in there. So that's the call on our lives. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So our salvation is a gift. The Holy Spirit of God is a gift. And then here's where the rubber meets the road for me as I think about this question. Number 3, and God's gifts are irrevocable. That's a hard word to say. It means they're impossible to retract or revoke because God's given it. God's given the gift through his promises. Romans 11:29, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. God never withdraws his gifts or changes his mind. Again, I'm so aware that some of you are thinking, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but well, I understand that this question is there's lots of strong Christians that see this in a little different way. But I read scripture, the very heart of it is, for me, if you can lose your salvation, if you can lose grace, it was never grace in the first place. Now, I told the early service, two PSs. The first one is just knowing that it's God's business, who's in and who's out in eternal life. That's God's business. And I'm not going to say you're a Christian, you're not, that sort of thing. But Scripture does give us ideas of what it means to be a Christian. Just saying a prayer and saying that I'm a Christian does not mean that. I met someone, wonderful lady here recently from another country that is a Christian, moved to America, and has said that in her country, it was costly to say I'm a Christian, to be a Christian. It costs you big things. It could cost you your family. It could cost you your safety. It could cost you all sorts of things. And that they were somewhat caught off guard coming to America, that it was so, people so easily just kind of flippantly, I'm a Christian. And it really didn't mean that much in some cases. So there's that. When we ask that question, you know, the famous question, once saved, always saved or not, once we get into that, and can someone lose their salvation? In my way of thinking, I know what Jesus has done for me, and I'll never turn my back on that. It's too precious of a gift for me to turn my back on. So that's the second PS, is I believe that while God will not take it from us, we can still, he doesn't remove our free will, we can still reject it. But if we reject it, we probably didn't have it in the first place. Is this on? Anybody listening to that? I know it's round and round we go, but man, God is good. Amen. And he has poured out his gift of salvation in the Holy Spirit onto us. He's not going to take that away from us. Now, that's not, if we see that as a green light to go and just live however we want to live and do whatever we want to do, then we probably don't really understand. We probably don't understand. Our sin nailed our Savior to a cross. I'm going to repeat that. Our sin nailed a Savior to a cross. Our Savior. Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's gifts are irrevocable. His grace, we are saved by grace through faith, church. And Billy said it in his prayer this morning as we were praying over pregnant resources. A lot of these young ladies who've made, in my opinion, bad decisions with their pregnancies, the enemy wants to heap guilt and shame on people that when they do things. He entices people to act in a certain way that's sinful, and then the enemy heaps guilt and shame on us. But God wants us to have life. He heaps grace on us because he loves us. And I don't know about you, but I know that I'll never lose that because I know what my Savior's done for me. If you'll bow your heads with me as the praise team comes back up. Lord, We're humbled that you've given us this gift of eternal life. You've given us the gift of your yourself dwelling in us, your Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And Father, we know that you are not a God that is going to take that back. But Father, we want our life to honor you. We want to be about your business. We want to seek righteousness. We want to be holy because you are holy. So show us how to do it. May we never take for granted the price you paid for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, please don't leave this place today without talking to me about that. There, as Billy said, there will be some people praying for you down here if you'd like prayer at the end of the service. And I will be out greeting you and our guests. Also, if you have, I'm not afraid of people that disagree with me. Let's open the Word and let's open the Word and look at it. So it's okay. It's okay. All right. If you'll rise as we close, don't forget that we have a baptism. Seated. Okay. Still got a few kids coming in. Harrington, you in there, buddy? Okay. Is it warm? Just keep standing up for just a second. All right. Calhoun family and friends, y'all come on up. Everybody, just come on up. You got a lot of people that love you, buddy. Y'all come on up here. Can y'all make a little path for them? And y'all come right up. We got a camera they can still see. Y'all just come right in front. Joel, I'm glad you preached a good sermon that Sunday, man. All right. Okay. Can everybody see? All right, good deal. Harrington, are you ready to do this, buddy?
Yes.
Okay. So we talked about this word sin, how all of us, every one of us are sinners, and Jesus wants to forgive us of our sin. Do you admit you're a sinner?
Yes.
And do you want Jesus to forgive you and be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. And you want him to be baptized this morning?
Yes.
Okay. If you'll sit right there. Go ahead and sit all the way down on that step. Is it still hot? Is it too hot? Well, I haven't had that before. Can you get used to it and sit down?
Yeah.
Billy, we got to turn the heater down.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You getting it?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick plunge here. Are you ready? Grab your nose. Harrington, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right there, right there. Stay right there, stay right there a second. All right, you okay? I've never had that happen before. All right, we're going to pray. Remember we talked about the Holy Spirit coming and being inside of you? Are you ready for me to pray for that? If y'all can reach him, put a hand on him. If you can't, the person in front of you. Yeah. Lord, we thank you, God, that you love Harrington. We thank you that he loves you back. We thank you that you died for him. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit and you would be in him. Father, you would fill him. He would ooze Jesus everywhere he goes. God, that we drive a stake in the ground and we say, enemy, this one belongs to Jesus. He belongs to Jesus. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. If you'll rise for this benediction. Church, we are saved by grace through faith. That's good news. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.